Blog Talk Radio.
This is a show that airs on Maryland Public Television, MPT.
brand. It's called Maryland Farms or something like that. And so Joanne Condenning, the host, was interviewing a couple of farmers to get their opinion of how this embargo, not embargo, I'm sorry, this potential trade war is going to impact their business. And these guys were scared to death because, you know, anybody that understands agriculture or agribusiness knows that, you know, these guys subsist off of credit, and a lot of that credit is driven by projections of what their crop is going to yield and how much per bushel that yield is going to earn them. So it's a lot of factors, a lot of math that goes into, you know, how they run their operations generally, and more particularly, how they are able to obtain the operational lines of credit that they need to actually run a farm until those crops are harvested. So this is going to directly impact them because you figure, man, hey, China imports a lot of soybeans. That's what tofu is made out of. And they might import a couple of billion tons per annum. And if the market drops out of the soybean production, these guys are going to go belly up, man. And, you know, this is just an awful situation. And, again, I don't revel in anyone because it's going to directly impact us as a consumer. Because eventually what's going to happen, to cut to the chase, is that these costs, as much as possible, are going to be passed to the consumer. That there is absolutely no doubt about it. It is definitely going to be passed to the consumer. And, you know, this was my other motivation. It really was for getting some land somewhere. I didn't want to go that far south, you know. You know, I'm not a great fan of racism and bigotry, and I don't tolerate it at all. I just do not. I don't tolerate any type of bigotry or racism or unfair, disparate treatment and that sort of thing. And so I wanted to, not that you don't have it up here, but I'm just saying it's more overt in certain areas of the country. And I've been all over the country, all over the world indeed, but in America is unique in that regard because you still have people that have the need to feel that they are superior to you. But at any rate, the point I'm trying to make, the larger issue, is not only did I want to live closer or be closer to nature and expose my child to being closer to nature, I also like to hunt and fish. I rarely have time to do it, however, with the demands of modern life. I am a professional and a business person, and it's quite difficult to get away for even a day. But I am determined to enhance my quality of life and find that magical balance. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I have to see over the next couple of months because this year is rapidly passing. I mean, we're already at the end of the first quarter, you know, for those that do their books on a quarterly basis as we do. And at the end of April, man, that's when the first payment is due to the IRS, you know, off of whatever profit we made, you know, after operational expenses, which are, right, you know, we obviously write off. And then the new rules came in. So what we did was, oh, and by the way, I meant to talk about this somewhat in addition to the tariffs and how this is going to impact us, the end user at the consumer level, is that, you know, the new tax plan that went into effect a little prematurely because they the Republicans really wanted to wait until 2019 because a lot of the penalties and the limitations of that tax plan, well, it wouldn't have been apparent until after the election. But for a lot of people, it's going to be apparent in this tax policy. I haven't even filed my personal taxes yet, which is highly unusual. I typically do so ordinarily by now. But I had some issues with a believe, owes me money, and I didn't want to file that return until I actually, the forensic accounting investigation was completed, and it hasn't been completed. I don't even believe it's started. So I downloaded, I went to the IRS website, and this is what I advise everyone to do, and they have a they have a whole section for small businesses, you know, mom and pop type operations like us, you know, here at EastNewYorkManagement.net. And those that don't know anything about what we do, you can go on our website. I believe it's still up. I don't know. We're way past, and I spoke to, you know, both the host and the new host, and you know how it goes. When you have a lot of moving parts, something is bound to not operate. You know, you just take it for granted. It's not bound to operate as fastly as you would like. If our website is up, however, you can go to www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Again, that URL is www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, and you can see what we do. As a matter of fact, let's take a break and come back on the other side of break, finish talking.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurbs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. At 10:42 a.m., it's Monday, April 2nd, 2018, and happy Easter weekend to you guys. I didn't do a lot this Easter, and that's highly unusual. And like I said, it was prompted by, you know, some I don't want to say bad news. It was just, you know, a numbskull decided to send me a very distressing text message. And, you know, I don't like negativity. I try to avoid it, but it is what it is. It's like, and it kind of soured my whole weekend. It really did, and I ought not have allowed it to, but I did. And, you know, the other thing is, and I'm sure someone, either you'll call in, text, write, or otherwise contact me, but every Easter, I believe it's Easter, unless I'm wrong, I watch, well, maybe it's not Easter, but I could have swore it was. I watch Charlton Heston. Oh my God, I can't think of the name of the movie now. Spectacular movie that you know was really. At any rate, those that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. And it comes on. I thought it came on Easter. I really did, and I might be wrong. It might be another holiday. It probably is, but. There were some movies on one of the other over-the-air channels that I subscribed to, but a lot of the biblical characters were portrayed as European, and, you know, for me, that's an immediate turnoff, so I turned it off. So at any rate, I was talking about, on the other side of the break, about, you know, the necessity of staying compliant. And, you know, what we did was, you know, because I'm not an accountant, I got to be honest, you know, my significant other has substantial business experience, was a manager, knows how to look at the numbers, and that's what I do too. I can read a P&L just like anyone else, but I'm just saying that is, I try to stay in my lane, and that is not my métier. That's not where my primary or secondary or even third skill set or competencies lie, you know. So the IRS has a trove, and because they want you to be compliant. They don't want to, you know, be sending out agents and filing tax warrants again. They really don't. And I'm not a fan of the IRS, but I'm telling you, whenever I had difficulty for whatever reason, for most reasons, I don't want to say for whatever reason, mainly I have gotten help. A couple of years ago, however, they decided for whatever reason, I guess it was budgetary restrictions during the last or just before the last year of the Obama presidency, to limit the type of help that they provide to the consumer. And it was really unfortunate because prior to that, man, I mean, you could go in there and those, mainly women, I don't, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, it's not sexist, it's just true. You know, they sit you down in their little cubicles and walk you through the whole nine, man. I mean, I've gotten so much great advice from IRL personnel, really, really have. So what I did was I went on their site looking for, you know, 2290 for one of our subsidiary talk this morning, what's going on, and the form. So I found the form. It's not due until the end of the first month in which we have earnings. So we're good on that. But in looking for this form, I found a little section that was dedicated to small businesses. Again, the mom and pop type operation, the cash and carry type businesses, you know, your beauticians, cosmetologists, barbers, truck drivers, that's, you know, people that are employed by themselves have very small businesses and things like that. You know, or accountants, physicians, dentists, you know, solo practitioners, you know, lawyers. and it shows you how to, you know, file, when you should file, your liability and that sort of thing. And, yeah, you could have someone do it, but you still need to know because at the end of the day, you need to know what your assets and what your liabilities are. You know, that's not your accountant's responsibility. Ultimately, that's your responsibility. And, you know, I know it's a generalization, but in the African-American community, we tend to overlook this stuff until special agents from the IRS are banging down our doors, man, and coming in with padlocks and that sort of thing, you know, and seizing property. And it's stupid. It really is. It's short-sighted when you could just sit down, get all this information, and if you don't understand it, then at that point, you know, you go to a bookkeeper. Or, you know, you bite the bullet and spend $1.50 and go to the accountant to have him or her help you set it up, explain to you what you ought to be doing on a quarterly basis to mitigate your exposure, your tax liability. And that's it. I mean, it's that simple, and people just refuse to do it. And then, you know, they have all these problems down the line. So we wanted to share that information with you. Because it's absolutely critical, and I don't want to, you know, I don't live my life where I have to look over my shoulder worrying if I am complying with the law or not. You know, I just rather not deal with that foolishness. So I don't try, I do it. So if someone accuses me of doing something other than what is legal, then I feel very comfortable. I really do. And, you know, if it comes that, you know, if it blows up beyond that, in other words, if it escalates beyond a mere accusation into, you know, a formal allegation of criminality, then, you know, I don't mind. I'll spend the money. And then whoever brought it, you know, they had better be, you know, well-heeled. You know, or, you know, because I will file all the ethics complaints to get their law license yanked, and, you know, I don't mind. I really don't, because I already know that we don't have the advantages of majority-owned businesses and companies. We really don't. We're undercapitalized traditionally in Africa. African American community. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, and I have a meeting, later on today to discuss this very issue, and because, most of the things that I do here at East New York and our two subsidiaries is cash and carry. And I realize as I'm getting older and my son is getting older that I need to ensure that we have the proper lines of credit set up in the event of a catastrophe or, just to meet some operational, or we see opportunity, more important, because I don't want to talk negative all the time. It just might be that we see opportunity, carpe diem, and we want to seize the day. We want to seize that opportunity. I was looking, as a matter of fact, and we've been talking about this for the last few months, about some property, trying to, see if we wanted to stay virtual or expand our capacity by buying property in which we can, build a studio. We're looking in several locations, even outside of New York, Baltimore, an example, because the city is still underperforming woefully for a lot of reasons, which is, it can make you laugh, it can make you cry type of situation, scenario there. But they still have many opportunities. But the downside is that, do you want to spend the extra cost for security to secure the property? Because I went through that in a business that we had in Delaware, man. Guy was breaking in so often, I started to leave him a blanket and a pillow. I mean, the guy was literally in there so much. I think I talked about this on a previous show. So I don't know. It's a lot of benefits and a lot of disadvantages, advantages and disadvantages of buying cheap real property. So I haven't made a decision, a firm decision yet, but I know I want to get a line of credit in place in the event that we do see an opportunity, and we want to take immediate advantage of it. I want to immediately write a certified check to the owner, and because I don't want to have somebody ease in and take advantage of something that we should have had the resources, the capital on hand to get. Let's take another break, and we'll finish up on the other side of the break here at Market Pulpit International, New York edition.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse, the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cost. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe into our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe into our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
Tune in to Market Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. 10:54 a.m. Monday, April 2nd, 34 degrees and cloudy. And we were talking on the other side about, need to stay compliant, that sort of thing. I said, the typical stuff that we go through as small business persons, the larger corporations, they have a bevy of accountants and lawyers that handle this sort of thing. So they don't worry about it. They have people in place that have built up expertise over the years. And I'm not saying they don't get in trouble, but for the most part, when you're talking about mid to large size business, anything under 50 employees is a small business, by the way. And so we definitely fit into that category, as do most businesses, I would say, you know, 60-70% of businesses, you know, only a small fraction of the businesses are considered large, but you're talking 1,000 or more employees. And those businesses, you know, don't have the concerns that we do. They really don't. You know, they have an economy of scale where they don't have to, you know, I'm not saying they don't have to dot all their T's and cross all their I's, but they have, you know, persons on staff or retainer that they can call upon to mitigate, you know, tax liability and that sort of thing, you know, and, and people that they deal with are really, really good. I would say they're experts in mitigation. You know, I had a guy many years ago, I don't know if he's still around, I gotta find out, but he was a Christian in New York, in Queens, on Hillside Boulevard. I gotta look him up. I don't know whether he was Indian or black or a combination of all the above, but he was the absolute best. You know, one of my preacher buddies referred me to him. This guy was so good. He had all these acronyms behind. I don't know, you know, all the, I mean, he was everything, literally, in the accounting world. If there was a designation in accounting, he had it. I mean, this guy was the real deal, and he was a solo practitioner, again, up on Hillside Boulevard in Jamaica, Queens, New York, and he was the best. And I don't know right now that, you know, I need to go back with him, because most of the stuff that we do, you know, we itemize and that sort of thing. But I don't know that it's necessary to have it. You know, I guess at some juncture, you know, maybe have him look over the books is not such a bad idea. You know, I'll see, you know, because it's always good to have, you know, a lawyer or an accountant, a telephone caller, but just to ask for advice. So you put them on retainer, you give them $100, you know, a few hundred dollars a year or whatever they want, you know, to answer, you know, simple questions. Obviously, it involves, you know, a more complex issue, then you're going to have to pay more. And we're going to talk about that in upcoming shows right here on Market Pulpit International, New York Edition, with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. So I want you to stay tuned and have a great week.
Yeah.